And welcome. Hopefully I'm live here. I'm on my cell phone because apparently something has gone wrong with the internet. I cannot log in off the normal studio. So that's why you did not hear any opening music or whatever. But at least I'm on the air doing the best I can here. I'll fix everything afterwards. But welcome. Welcome to the porch. I'm Richard Grund. This is where we, when we get on the air, get back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts Church. Hopefully we will restore the priesthood of the believer and regain the world-shaking influence that the church once had. Because I believe, and we believe here in the porch, that the day of Pentecost is ongoing. The church age is still in effect. The porch has been an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. And you can go to onsolomonsporch.org if you want to contact us. If you want to support what we do, go to firefalltalkradio.com. We appreciate each and every one of you that support us. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to us on the Spreaker app. We're also on Spotify, so welcome to those listeners as well as our original listeners on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes and iHeartRadio. Update, Florida meeting, Wednesday, Saturday, July 27th. I'm booking the hotel. I will post the information for you. I got an even better room rate, got them down a little bit on what they offered us. So if you're coming in, you'll get a tremendous room rate to be in a really good area. A lot of restaurants, a lot of things to do, shuttles to the parks. If you come in on Thursday or Friday, you can play, spend Saturday with us, and then maybe Sunday either go home and continue to stay. It's still vacation time. So pay attention. I will send out a newsletter with the information as well as posting it on social media so that you can book your rooms. Going to be limited space, so you're going to have to lock your space in. There'll be more information about that when I post it. This week, a tornado tore through Lee County, Alabama. Actually, it was one of 34 tornadoes that struck Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. But in Lee County, Alabama, 23 people died, ages 6 to 90. Homes were destroyed. Dozens of them just ripped from their foundation, and all the missing have been accounted for. But if you see the pictures online, it's total, total devastation. Two anonymous corporations are paying for all the funerals, so that's a tremendous blessing. They said that the tornado that hit Lee County packed winds of 170 miles an hour over a path of 70 miles. Wow, two 70s in there. I'm not sure what that means. So pray for them. Keep them in prayer. Don't take for granted the world that we live in has problems like this. These things happen. So pray for them. Praise reports and prayer requests. Well, of course, I praise the Lord for this home, my family, my wife, our furry kids, my sons, my daughter-in-laws, my grandson. We are blessed. As family goes, we are blessed with roofs over our heads, so we praise Him for that. Praise Him for this technology and the ability to do this with you. For His protection over us in this fallen world, that Psalm 91 covering, which is in effect, I praise Him for Him letting me work His ministry, for the dreams and the visions and the healing virtues. I praise Him for the ability to praise Him. You know, I don't say that lightly. That is for real. And I love to praise the Lord for being a new creation, for living in these times, for living in America so that we can still do this. We can get together and do the things we do. And I'm also praising Him that He's getting ready to come back. So I want to get ready, and that's why I'm here with you, hoping that you'll get ready for that. So let's praise Him. Praise Him for His favor. I praise Him for His favor and His revelation. He kept me and my family out of two setups by the enemy this week. So divine revelation, the gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, dreams and visions, they all still play in what we do for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Pray for the Middle East. Pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which means you are praying for the Prince of Peace to return. Pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, for our brothers and sisters around the world being slaughtered and persecuted for their faith, homes being destroyed in China. They're destroying churches. They're tearing them down. The slaughter of the innocents in the womb, the religious persecution and anti-Semitism that is growing because of the satanic influence over this world, for the sex trafficking of young people, young girls, young boys, women. It's horrific. The enemy is running amok, and I just don't see the church or those that know how to do anything doing enough about it, which is why I pray for the blessings for us to go, to do, to set the captives free, to inspire people. That's what this meeting in July is all about, is to getting you to understand who you are in Him, getting you to understand what you're called to do and how to do it, and seeing it and going out there and doing it. I praise and pray for divine wholeness and health and healing in me and in all of you, getting back to our divine design for the protection and the inspiration. I don't expect the church to wake up. I just don't. So I'm praying for the remnant to wake up, to rise up, to answer the shofar call, to action, to call the war. If you can, if you've been blessed, then be a blessing. Answer this call to help out with the event, to help out with the documentary, to support what we do. It's all for the kingdom. Nobody's getting rich here. Nobody's doing anything selfishly. This is to further the kingdom of God, to set the captives free. So let's do it. Let's open the windows and the conduits of His blessings to flow. Continue to pray for my family and I. Pray for my wife, Deb, and her healing and restoration of her body. The only other prayer request I have this week is from Stacy in Texas, telling me it's been absolutely insane where she is. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of different things. She said, keep praying for us. And she says, I'm looking forward to the meeting this summer. So, Father, here we are. Technology almost kept this from happening, but we made it happen. And we thank you for this technology. We thank you for your desire to speak to us, to change us, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. I thank you for your provision. So, Lord, we just ask for you right now to come. We ask for you to touch us. We ask for you to fill us. We don't have sound effects. We don't have clips. We don't have anything but you. Just raw porch tonight, Father. So touch us. Reach down inside of us. Clear our mind. Prepare us to receive. So we take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah, claiming the mind of Messiah, and we cast down every vain imagination, every influence of the enemy. We cast it down in Yeshua's name. We pray for our hearts to receive. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the upper room. We thank you for the fire of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you that you're still with us. You've not forsaken us, that you are still active in our lives, and that we're going to see you again. We thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit, that he walks with us and he teaches us and he encourages us. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Yeshua's name, amen. No shofar, no announcements. I'll add all that in. So we've been talking about walking in the Spirit. We've been talking about getting to this place where we can be useful in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not sure if you understand what that means. Hopefully by now you do. Because without the Holy Spirit, this can't be done. This ministry in His name for His kingdom is a ministry of the Spirit. Now, I'm not just talking about the porch. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about what we're doing. So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's really what this is all about. That's how it happens. That's how it gets done. It's about service to and for the kingdom of God. In the day of Pentecost, the experience of Pentecost, the fire of Pentecost, was a transformational event to transform us so that we could transform the world. Now, of course, things have gotten in the way. Tradition, man-made rules and regulation, things that had nothing to do with what the Spirit was doing. But if we can get back to that, we can acquire that fire again. And it's a divine power to alter and renovate people from the inside out, so that we can destroy the works of the devil, destroy the works of the kingdom of God. This will take a boldness that only the Holy Spirit can give. You know, in Acts 1, the Amplified, 1:8, the Amplified says, "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, my witnesses," the Lord says, "in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth." And what happened was when the fire fell, it endued them, it soaked into them, it filled them so that they could receive power, dunamis power. And today as I worked on this, I began to do some research on that concept of dunamis. It's inherent power capable of reproducing itself like a dynamo. We'll explain what a dynamo is. It resides in a thing by virtue of its nature. See, if you're born again by virtue of your nature, the Spirit resides in you. If the Spirit resides in you, the gifts and the fruit should be present. Now, what is a dynamo? A dynamo is a machine for converting mechanical energy into electrical energy. It's a generator. And what it does, it gives you potentiality and actuality, the ability to achieve and the potential for functioning in some manner. Of course, that manner is in the manner of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you tie these meanings together, dunamis means the vested inherent power of God in all of us by virtue of salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. See, this was a power for a new task, which was what? To take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's all it was for. It wasn't about anything else, and man has turned it into so many other things. Every time I go on the internet, somebody else is starting a ministry. We have so many ministries out there. How about if we stop starting ministries and we start working his ministry? How about we stop putting names of men on ministries and put his name upon it? If he is lifted up, he will draw men unto him. The enemy has been brilliant in his ability to distract and dissuade and diffuse the power. But when we get back to basics, the red letter basics, the power of the Holy Spirit as it was presented by the Book of Acts Church, we create a dynamic explosion that will change the world. See, in Acts 2:4 it says, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, we know it started in the upper room and it spilled out into the streets, and people everywhere heard all their languages. But I also believe that at that moment, those tongues, which is a supernatural heavenly language, began to reverberate in the air, began to make a declaration in the air, began to change the atmosphere in Jerusalem. Because it's the Holy Spirit that made the declaration that day. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as he desires. That's what 1 Corinthians 12:11 says. So, on the day of Pentecost, it was the Spirit's will for Peter to have the boldness to confront the crowds in Jerusalem with a soul-piercing, heart-rendering message. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." I mean, think about that. Peter, the same Peter that ran away, the same Peter that cursed and said, "I don't know him." Same Peter that tried to stop the Lord from going to Jerusalem to be crucified. He stands up in front of this crowd of people at 9 o'clock in the morning and basically says, "Hey, listen up. Listen closely." It kind of explains what's going on, ties it to the prophet Joel, but then he drops the hammer. He drops the conclusion of why he wants them to pay attention. Jumping down to verse 36 of Acts 2. "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." And then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging his listeners, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. That took boldness. That was the first manifestation of the spiritual boldness that I'm talking about. It was also a fulfillment of the promise the Lord made in John 16, verses 7 through 11. "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged," clearly showing that the ruler of the world is HaSatan. The rulers of the world are the fallen. Now, what we know from this and what we know from the Word is that boldness, the spiritual boldness I'm trying to get stirred up in you, is a sign of the Lord's presence in your life. Acts 4:13, "Now when they saw the boldness," this is when Peter and John are arrested for healing the man at the gate, beautiful, the man that had been lame from birth. "And then when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Yeshua." See, without the higher education of Judaism, unprofessional men, men of the rank and file of the Jews, were speaking in a way with a knowledge, a divine knowledge, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees recognized them to be companions or followers of Yeshua of Nazareth. See, that's what the Spirit does. But we're too busy today making sure that everybody's polished, making sure that everybody has degrees and certificates and all those things, all those man-made rules and regulations, when it's the Spirit that confirms whether somebody knows him or not. Boldness, spiritual boldness, that fire that's in your bones, that fire that makes you have to say something, makes you have to do something, doesn't let you quit, propels you forward like the steam engine on a train, the fire that burns and sends it down the tracks. That's what I'm talking about. Look at Acts 4, after they've been chastised and told not to say these things anymore, and they get sent back, and they tell their brothers and sisters what happened. They begin to pray. Acts 4, picking up verse 27. For truly against your holy servant Yeshua, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord Adonai, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Yeshua. And when they prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. Well, wait a second. They were already filled. More fire. And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. The answer to the prayer wasn't go run and hide. I'm going to send angels to cover you. You're good. The answer to the prayer was more boldness to go do what he told them to do. The abiding presence of the Holy Spirit creates a continuous flow of inspiration and power. Remember, self-replicating power, a dynamo, a machine that keeps creating electricity. Where is that? What happened to that? See, the book of Acts, church, started with nothing but the bold confidence in God and in the Lord and dependence upon the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit to get the impossible done. We have become totally dependent upon schemes and marketing plans and social media and branding and all these things, when each and every one of you that listen, each and every one of you listening right now has within you the power to do what the Lord needs you to do. Tell somebody the life-saving good news of the gospel. Inside of each and every one of you is this dunamis, this power, this ability, this physical and moral and spiritual a thrust to put power in action, to perform miracles. Yes, perform miracles. The force that's needed to tear down the gates of hell, to knock down the kingdom of darkness, to change people's lives. The problem is he's got us bound up and tied up in all these things that we're not plugged in. And if we are plugged in, the cord is twisted and the fire is low. But it shouldn't be that way, church. It shouldn't be that way. You know, I'm thinking about, I'm staring at my phone, making sure the sound meter is moving. I'm sure it doesn't sound as good, because instead of being on a professional microphone, I'm on a headset for my phone. But the fire and the passion is still the same. Matter of fact, I am more fired up because of the technical problems, that this word will go forth. This fire of the Spirit inside of me that's in my bones since the day I got saved, this Ruach HaKodesh, this Holy Spirit, that life force of God will propel me forward no matter what. See, that's what the Spirit is, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, a very specific spirit. Ruach is spirit, HaKodesh is holy. This is a Holy Spirit. Why? Because it comes from the Father. It's his life force. It's what he breathed into Adam in Genesis 2:7. The spirit of life that made him a living being, forming him from the clay of the ground, but then breathing life inside of him, making body, soul, and spirit come alive and function together in a unique manner unseen by anything else in the universe. Everything else was spoken into existence. We were formed. And then you have Yeshua, Yeshua of Nazareth, Yeshua of Nazareth, who God anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, going about and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. He went about doing good, Acts 10:38. He went about doing good. Why? I don't think he could have sat still. I think when the Spirit fell on him in the Jordan after his cousin baptized him and filled him, he had places to go. He had people to heal. He had words to speak. If you remember, and every time I think about this, it takes me back to John chapter 3 when Yeshua is talking to Nicodemus. Starting with verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. When Yeshua used the illustration of the wind for the work of the Holy Spirit, it was kind of a play on words, because the word spirit is the same word for wind. The wind blows where it wants to blow. And so is the Holy Spirit in his sovereignty, in his sovereign works. He does what he wants to do. You can't control him. You don't know the origin, you don't know the destination, but you know it when it's there. That's the same thing about the Holy Spirit. The other thing about the wind is it can be gentle and comforting and refreshing, but like the storms I talked about before, it can be strong and disruptive, even destructive. See, I believe the Holy Spirit has the power to destroy the enemy's strongholds, but he uses us to do them. He uses us to tear them down. He uses us to cast out the demons. Could the Lord just speak from heaven, from the throne room himself, and just willy-nilly do things? I'm sure he could, but that's not the system he put in place. He left us to do it. And I think there's a reason for that. When Satan and the fallen did what they did to mankind and enslaved them and caused sin, it would be just like the Father to use his creation to subject and correct the enemy. We can either be gentle and comforting and refreshing, or we can be strong and disruptive. That's what boldness in the Spirit does. But how do you balance that? How do you keep it from being destructive in the life of a person? Because it can be. If I were to just use the gifts that the Lord has given me and just walk around and read people's mail and look in their lives and, oh, yeah, well, you might want to stay away from your sister-in-law tonight. You know, that probably would not go over very well and would cause a whole lot more damage then it would further the kingdom of God. So how do we keep this power and control, this massive dynamic power? By the fruit of the Spirit. See, the boldness of the Spirit is inspired by love. It inspires joy. It instills peace. It's patient, kind, and benevolent, and acts with self-control and self-restraint. That's what it does. Because otherwise, when you look at Hebrews 4:12, when it says the Word of God, which we know is the Lord, which we know through the presence of the Holy Spirit, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So being bold in the Spirit, having the boldness of the Spirit, I can take that sword and I can slash and cut and hack. Or I can be surgically precise. Or I can choose not to draw the sword at all. See, the Spirit will compel you to act, or He will compel you to have restraint. See, when people say to me, oh, I couldn't help but say that. I couldn't help but do it. The Spirit was upon me. Wrong answer. Thank you for playing. Pick up your parting gifts on the way out, because that's not how the Spirit works. If it's a life or death situation and what you have to say, what you say has to be said, then of course that'll happen, but it'll be done in love. Go with me to Luke 22. I want to show you something. The Lord showed it to me today, so I'm going to share it with you. Verse 35. And he being Yeshua, said, When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. So he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it. Likewise, a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. So they said, look, here are two swords. And he says to them, it is enough. Well, have you ever wondered who owned those swords? I can tell you owned one of them. You jump down later on to Luke 22, verse 49, when they show up to arrest him. The temple priest, Judas, the servants. And when those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Yeshua answered them, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. John 18:10 tells us who had the sword. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, just a short time before, he tells them, you're going to need a sword. And he has it. But he didn't want it drawn at that moment. And Peter, in his zeal, acted in his flesh. What went wrong? Well, the Holy Spirit was with them, but he wasn't in them yet. That would happen after the resurrection. That's why the infilling of the Holy Spirit is so important. You can be inspired to do something through the external influence, but it's the internal presence of the Holy Spirit abiding in you that allows Him to decide what you're going to do. Romans 8, verses 13 and 14 tell me this, tell you this, tell us all this. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Living and walking in the Spirit, as we've been talking about now, the 16th week, is controlled or propelled by the Spirit Himself. So, this explosive dunamis doesn't really refer to the strength or the ability, but it refers to His power working through us. It's His power alone that keeps us. It's His power alone that forms our character as we walk in His power to glorify Him. See, as I was working on this today, and the Lord's been doing this now for 16 weeks, and I'm beginning to see now where it's all going. I learn a lot as I work on it. I learn a lot as He shows to me what He wants me to share. Sometimes the revelation comes as I'm speaking to you. But then I saw this thing about spiritual warfare, going to Ephesians 6, starting verse 10. Very popular place. I got saved out of the occult. You know my story. First thing I went into was spiritual warfare. The first thing I dealt with was the casting out of demons and helping people like me. It took the Spirit to show me His desires and His intention for what He wanted me to do. But when I first got saved, I was filled with spiritual sass and vinegar. That's what I'll call it. And I was running and gunning. I was swinging and I was slashing. I was looking for demons to fight and cast out and principalities to pull down. It wasn't until years later I took on the meekness of the samurai warrior. And I didn't draw the sword unless I was told to, unless I had to. And I offered meekness, control, power everywhere I went. Even now, I can be in the presence of a demonic entity and I will not act until the Lord says act. Sometimes the most powerful thing I can do is to ignore them. Drives them crazy. That's real power. Ephesians 6, starting verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. Here we go. This is what every other scripture before was about. That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, that was a light bulb moment there. Every aspect of the armor, the end result was to speak the gospel boldly. Inspired utterance, boldness in preaching, clarity of the gospel being preached. It's all about one thing and one thing alone, getting people what? Saved, healed, and delivered. That's all it's about. Not about writing books, not about doing seminars, not about DVDs and t-shirts and all the things that we've turned this into. It's about changing the world, transforming the world, taking His power and undoing the sin of the garden and the power of the enemy. Because without that section at the end, without the prayer and without the boldness, all the armor in the world is of no use. And what Paul says, praying always, general prayers, specific petitions in the Spirit made for all believers at all occasions, perseverance and patience in prayer. You know, we offer you this praise reports and prayer requests. Only a handful of people do it. I know that there are hundreds listening over the period of a week or so as everybody on every streaming service catches up. Here's what I'm hoping you do. First of all, I'm hoping you pray for those people and the prayers I mentioned. But I'm also hoping that at that moment when you pray, Lord, bless these other listeners on the porch. Bless the other members of the porch community. And if it gives you insight into what to pray for, pray it. If not, make it a general prayer. If you have your prayer language, let the Holy Spirit pray through you. Because that's what keeps us going. That's what that fire does. See, we are ambassadors of the Messiah. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors for Messiah, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. Not reconciled to a building, not reconciled to a denomination, not reconciled to his human personality. Be reconciled to God. What the Holy Spirit said to me today, and this is what I typed out. The Spirit's message is not warfare for the sake of warfare, but warfare for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom of God. See, this meant a lot to me when this is what I've been praying. When my brother Larry, fellow founding member of SRT, and we've walked together and fought together and did it. What we pray for now is the ability to go set the captives free, the ability to go inspire people, the ability to go help people, the ability to shut down principalities and areas of influence so the gospel can be preached by those who don't even know what we're doing. It's all about furthering the kingdom. It's all about preparing for the return of the king. It's all about fulfilling the Great Commission, whether we're praying for a motorhome or an RV or the transportation or the funds, whether we go and do this documentary. It's not about anything but exposing the enemy to open people's eyes so that they can make the decision as to where they're going to spend eternity. That they can get out of the bondage that they're in, whether they know it's bondage or not. Many of the people I meet in the paranormal community, who I'm very gracious and gentle with, every now and then I will take a stand on certain key things that I feel the Spirit leads me to, but they're deceived. They have a foot in two worlds. They're dancing with the devil to the devil's music, and they don't understand that at some point he's going to come for his dance ticket. So I'm hoping in the midst of speaking and meeting with them and sharing my experiences and what the Lord has shown me over 30 years of being saved, that the light bulb will go off in their head and they'll realize, wow, I've got to pick a side. I've got to stop doing what I'm doing. I'm going into a paranormal zoo to pet animals in cages that are open and have no locks, and I am playing spiritual Russian roulette with the fact that sooner or later, one of these things is going to show me that it's not benevolent, that it's there to deceive me, it's there to take advantage of me. See, we are representatives of a sovereign king who has left us here with authority to govern and maintain peace. Now listen to what I'm saying. Tarry, tarry, settle down, stay. We have been left here to govern over a fallen world spiritually, over a fallen kingdom of darkness, and to maintain a spiritual supernatural peace. We have been called to stay in a world that's in rebellion to him. And he's given us a message of peace and reconciliation in the midst of a warfare with an enemy that refuses to submit, accept defeat. Defeat happened. It happened on Calvary. Final defeat is going to happen. There's nothing they can do to stop it. But we have been given a mission. This is what this walking in the Spirit is all about. Second light bulb moment. We've been given a mission to implore people like Peter did on the day of Pentecost to be reconciled to their Heavenly Father and to hear the forgiving voice of their Creator. We're not here to inspire them into religion. Today, all over the world, Catholics have Ash Wednesday, and they're having a cross put with ashes on their forehead, the ashes of a palm leaf. And I see people post all these things about it, and I go, having been a Roman Catholic, looking back on it, it's a useless ritual. See, Lent is all year round if you really understand the Bible. Seeking forgiveness, checking your life, making sure every area of your life is right. It's not a ritual. All that stuff is man-made and it's pagan-inspired. Let me just say what it is. And the enemy's got people doing it. I don't have time for that. The world is dying. People are dying. Souls are being lost. Babies are being murdered in the womb. Young women, young girls, young boys are being taken captive into slavery, sexual, deviant slavery. A fallen world system that wants them to be that way. A fallen world system that wants them to break and defy the ways and the will and the rules of God. I don't have time for ritual. I don't have time for man-made nonsense. I have a mission. As the Blues Brothers said, I'm on a mission from God to implore people to be reconciled to their Heavenly Father. And to do that, there's a bloody cross. There's a Savior. That's all Paul wanted. Even being an ambassador in chains, he wanted to speak as boldly as he could speak, and he did. And interestingly enough, he doesn't say he speaks for God. He says God speaks his word through us, using us to redeem sinners, to say, come back to God, be reconciled to him. See, that's our witness. Our witness doesn't come to church. We're the church. Basically, it's telling the fish, hey, fish, jump in the boat. No, our mission, come back to God. Come to your Heavenly Father. Learn what a real father is. It's a message of reconciliation, and we have a ministry of reconciliation. And there's an urgency about it. Paul says to implore, beseech, to beg men to be reconciled to God before it's too late. Seek him while he's found. That's what this fire is all about. That's what this dunamis is all about. We are called to be spiritually empowered with the boldness to tell someone they're dying. But I have the antidote for the poison that's killing you. It's throughout the Bible, Acts 19:8. And he, being Paul, went into synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. But even after we have suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. 2 Corinthians 3:12, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. But see, this is where we're going to start to shift. The boldness spills over into the supernatural, creating a cause and effect. You see, boldness in the Spirit will cause signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow the Word. You become bold to speak the Word. You become bold to speak the Word about the Lord. You become bold to speak the Word about reconciliation and telling them the truth. And the next thing you know, signs and wonders happen. Acts 19, starting with verse 11. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs, aprons, were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. There's a reason for that, and I'll explain that at the seminar. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Yeshua, Adonai Yeshua, of those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Yeshua whom Paul preaches." And these were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, who did so. They were doing it according to the Kabbalah. And the evil spirit answered them and said, "Yeshua I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And then the man in whom this evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, this had never happened before, folks. These are guys that were in business. They had done this, but this is the first time their efforts failed. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of Adonai Yeshua, Lord Jesus, was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them. It totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. New Living Translation said the value of the books was several million dollars. I don't see anywhere where Paul told them to do that. I don't see anywhere where it says he preached for them to do that. But the convicting presence of the Holy Spirit and the desire to be saved and right with God caused them to do that. Belief in the Lord and being born again always delivers from occult bondage. Then and now. The word of the Lord concerning the attainment through Messiah of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God grew, and it spread, and it intensified, prevailing mightily. Why? Because they saw the difference between ritual and real power. The sons of Sceva used a name that they did not have the authority to use. And what happened was the power of the Holy Spirit in Paul against the impotence of the Kabbalah ritual of exorcism. And by the way, the only place the word exorcism is mentioned in the Bible is in regards to these failures known as the sons of Sceva. It is not a biblical concept. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. What was that, Acts 19? No, that's Acts 2. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, Acts 5:14. Acts 6:7, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 9:31, that the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Acts 12:24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 16:5, the churches were strengthened in the faith and what? Increased in numbers daily. Why? What's going on here? Walking in the Spirit, walking in the boldness to preach the gospel, using the gifts, using the fruit, will create change. They had hope, and they were offering hope to a people that had none. Freedom of speech, frankness, bluntness. They weren't fearful of being retaliated against. They weren't reluctant. No, they were blunt and courageous. We need that. We need people to say to somebody, oh, you're fascinated with Harry Potter. Well, let me explain to you where his powers come from. They don't come from God. They've never come from God at any time in history. They come from the fallen that are in Canaan. The Canaan was settled by the fallen and their offspring, the Nephilim. It's a demonic influence. But show it to them. Show it to them in the Word. Know what you're talking about. We don't have the courage anymore to tell the truth because we're afraid. We're afraid of being rejected. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, since we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart, but have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. See, we are ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life, 2 Corinthians 3:6. The ministry of the New Testament is a ministry of the Spirit, and it takes spiritual boldness to do that ministry. So here it is, another light bulb moment for me today. Spiritual warfare, you want to know what it is? It is changing a society through the gospel. It's getting people saved, healed, and delivered. That's what destroys the work of the devil. We need to have the attitude of Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is what? It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And just like our Heavenly Father, through the Lord, being the Word, commanded light to shine in the darkness when he said, let there be light. Using us to speak for him, he turns on the light in people's hearts so they can see who Jesus of Nazareth is, so they can see who Yeshua is. I post these videos on Facebook of all the Jews that have found Messiah and become complete HaMashiach. Everyone, male, female, old, young, every walk of life, they say the same thing. It was like a light bulb went on. It's like my eyes were opened and I saw who Yeshua was. He turns on a light in their hearts. People are blinded by Satan, but we've been given the power to shine the light, and it takes spiritual boldness to help people see. Father, I'm calling for that boldness right now in your sons and your daughters. I'm calling for you to just bestow upon them, take away the fear of rejection, take away all the things that keep them from telling the truth in love and from loving people into the kingdom, imploring them to know who their Heavenly Father is, explaining to them through the power of the Word and the inspiration of Ruach HaKodesh who Yeshua is. Give them that fire. Give them that boldness. Empower us to go. Empower us to shake the world one last time for the return of the King. Lord, we long to see you, and that's why we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to do this for you. We don't want the constriction of the boundaries of this world or our past or our wounds or all the things that hold us down right now by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let it all be melted off of us. Let every chain of bondage fall. Let every prison door fly open. Let us run, Lord. Let us run. Let us run. Let us run. Let us fly with wings as eagles. Let's go do this, Father. Turn us loose. Turn us loose with this fire and with this boldness. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch, Raw and Real on Firefall Talk Radio.